Well, across all seven swing states now, if you look at the polling, Donald Trump is winning in all seven swing states, including Michigan. As I've said numerous times, North Carolina and Georgia, I don't believe, are in the swing state category any longer. And as you look across the country, whether it's a two-way race between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, or a five-way race that includes RFK Jr. and others, Donald Trump continues to come out on top because of his domination in the issues. People can look back right now and say, what did I pay for gasoline 4 years ago? How expensive was my Easter dinner 4 years ago? How is Bidenomics affecting us compared to what we had 4 years ago? And people across the board are not happy with where we are. In fact, more than 60% of voters in the United States say we are heading in the wrong direction. 62% of voters in the U.S. is moving in the wrong direction in advance of the 2024 election, according to a brand new poll. But it depends on who's answering the questions. All right? It depends on who's answering the questions. But 60% of us say we're going the wrong direction. One of those reasons, the brutal murders of Lake and Riley in Georgia. More recently, Ruby Garcia in Grand Rapids. It's put a glaring spotlight on the open border policies of Joe Biden and Alejandro Mayorkas. And frankly, the entire administration, both young women among a growing number of Americans that have become victims of the Biden administration's refusal to close the border or to admit by repealing dozens of executive orders put in place by former President Donald Trump. They are costing Americans their lives every single day. And that's why the open border has become far and away the number one issue in America today, and one that could certainly decide the election in November. Joining me now is the former president, Donald Trump. And you know, like the rest of us, sir, it does not have to be this way. Thank you for being here. We need to fix this problem.
Well, you're right. There's never been anything like it. Nobody's seen anything like it. And we had the safest border in the history of our country 3.5 years ago. And now you look at it, and it's the worst border in the history of the world. There's never been a border where millions of people are allowed to pour into a country. And many of those people are criminals. They're releasing their jail populations from all over the world, not just South America. You know, everyone thinks it's South America, and that's bad to start off with. But all over the world. Last night, they had people from the Congo enter the country, and they lived in prisons, okay? These people are coming in from all over the world and at levels that nobody's ever seen before. It is sick. It's not even believable that somebody could think this is a positive thing. And they don't want to turn around their policies. I guess they don't want to admit they're wrong. So our crime rate goes up.
Yeah.
Venezuela, their crime rate, I don't know if you saw this stat, it just came out. Venezuela crime is down 67%. They got all their gangs out of the towns and cities. They're all living happily in the United States. I'm sure you're thrilled.
Yeah.
But they're living happily in the United States. They took their gang members, their gangs. They took their drug dealers. Everybody's being deposited into the United States. But it's not Venezuela only. It's everybody is doing this.
Isn't it?
They're emptying out their jails and their mental institutions into the United States. And these people are sick.
Yeah.
That allow this to happen. Either they're very stupid or they hate our country.
Or both.
To allow this to happen to our country, and the levels, the numbers are astronomical, and you're going to see crime at levels that nobody's ever seen before, because these make our criminals look like nice people.
Don't you find it remarkable, Mr. President, that the Biden administration, Joe Biden and all the rest, act as if they are completely helpless, can't close the border, except for the fact that they overturned something like 94 executive orders that you had in place to secure the border prior to leaving office. And they act as if we're helpless. This is the United States of America. We can close the border, can't we?
You can, as your president, you don't need any legislation. I didn't have it. I didn't need it. I just closed the border. I said it's closed. You can come into the country, but you have to come in legally. You know, we want people to come into the country. They have to come in legally. They have to be checked out. I had a policy, remain in Mexico. Now, you think that was easy to get with Mexico? Remain in Mexico. They had hundreds of thousands of people in Tijuana, which is near the border, right next to the border. And hundreds of thousands of people, and they couldn't get in until they were checked out. And many of them, I could say most of them, were not allowed into the country. And they had to go back to where they came from. And we had a very tough policy. Just think of that. catch and release. We did catch and release, but we're, you know, in our form of catch and release that we had with, you know, with Obama and with Biden, they released them into our country. You know, they'd catch criminals and release them into our country and say, come back in 5 years for a court case, which nobody ever came back. I had catch and release. I'd release them into Mexico, okay? They were released into Mexico, and Mexico stood it. Now Mexico, I don't know if you've seen the latest, Mexico wants $20 billion a year just to talk.
And we call that extortion, by the way.
They did everything I wanted them to do.
Yeah, we call that extortion.
I had remain in Mexico, and they were 100% okay with it. And they were because it was a negotiation. And I said, you send us a vast number of cars. You know, they stole 32% of our industry over the course of 25 years of our car manufacturing industry. They have the biggest plants. They have massive plants, and they're building more plants now. They weren't under my administration. I said, any more plants you build, we're going to tariff the hell out of the cars coming in, so you're not going to be able to do it. I'll tell you, something else is happening that a lot of people don't know. China now is building big car plants in Mexico, very big, the biggest. Biggest in the world, actually, to make cars and to send them into the United States. Now, we got to win this election. This is the most important. When we win, if we win, I got to say, if we win, because these guys, they cheat and they did. If we could have an honest election, they would have no chance of winning. And we think we have it pretty well locked up. But they are professional thieves when it comes to elections. And you know that better than anybody. But we will put a tariff on those cars. So think of it. China's coming in building plants in Mexico, not even in this country, in Mexico, going to make cars and going to sell those cars into the United States. But they'll be
Let me ask you something about China.
So high that none of those cars will be coming into the United States.
Yeah, let me ask you something else about China.
Mexico now wants $20 billion just to sit down and talk. A year, $20 billion a year. Just to sit down and talk.
Yeah.
I gave them nothing. With me, it was the exact opposite. They did whatever we wanted them to do. And
it's
what's
extortion.
Happening is unbelievable.
Yeah.
So they want $20 billion a year to sit down and talk. And Biden, I think, is going to accept that.
Well, we wouldn't.
It's crazy.
And you wouldn't. It's extortion. You know that. And so do I. I want to ask you something about China while we're on that topic, if I may. Because China's also the source for the components that create fentanyl that's brought over our border by the cartels that are dangerously in charge of our border. How do you hold China accountable for those illegal drugs flooding in, killing what, 100,000, 125,000? How do you hold China and Mexico, I guess, both accountable for all of those Americans dying and all that poison coming into our country?
Right. They send it through the southern border. So as I said, we had the strongest border in the history of our country. I built 571 miles of wall. We were ready to install another 200 miles. That's much more than I said I was going to build. We're ready to do another 200 miles. We had Mexico giving us a fortune in soldiers. You know, I had 28,000 soldiers, Mexican soldiers. I said, I want you to give us 28,000 soldiers. And you've heard me say it before.
Yeah.
And they gave them to me because I said, if you don't give them to me, I'm going to tax the hell out of your products coming in. So they gave them. I got 28,000 soldiers. And once the wall was built, I mean, it what a difference it made. But we were going to add another 200 miles. China sends fentanyl to Mexico, and it comes through. Most of it comes through the southern border. It was slowing down tremendously under when I had it. And I met with President Xi of China. And he was all set to do it. He was going to do the death penalty in China. You know, they have a death penalty in China for drug dealers and drug manufacturers, illegal drug manufacturers. They don't have a drug problem because they have the death penalty. We don't have the death penalty. If we had the death penalty for drug dealers, you would have no drug problem, just like China, just like Singapore. You have countries that have the death penalty for drug dealers. None of them have any drug problems. Because the penalty is, you know, it's the ultimate penalty, right? None of them have any problems with drugs whatsoever. China has 1.4 billion people. Now, they have a drug problem. They make drugs, and they sell them into the United States. So my deal with him was that he was going to create the death penalty for drug dealers of fentanyl, and that was going to stop. And after that horrible, disgusting result turned out with the election, where we got millions of more votes than I did the first time. Millions. We got more votes than any sitting president ever got. after that happened, she reneged on the deal with the Biden people because they weren't going to force anything. They probably don't even know about the deal. But I had a deal with President Xi that he was going to, you know, they have a very powerful death penalty over there for drug dealers. He was going to put the fentanyl makers into that category. It would have stopped it. It would have stopped it cold. But this administration, just like they did with the Abraham Accords, just like they did with everything else, they don't follow through with anything.
Let me ask you one more thing. You're coming to Michigan tomorrow, as I talked about at the top of the segment here. You're leading in all seven swing states. If the election were held today, it'd be a walkaway, whether it's a head-to-head fight with Joe Biden or five people in the race, including Robert F. Kennedy Jr., makes no difference. You're winning in all seven swing states. I don't believe Georgia or North Carolina should even be in that category. I believe the red states. But Michigan, critical. The EV mandates have become an absolute disaster for Michigan and Ohio and other states because nobody wants them. Fisker, you've probably seen this. Fisker is on the edge of bankruptcy. They dropped the price of their cars by $25,000 here over the weekend, desperately trying to survive. They're not going to. When you come to Michigan, you were here last fall and you said the EV will be the death of General Motors and Ford. What do you say to Michigan blue-collar workers, to middle-class families that say, look, the EV thing is failing. How do we get America back on track and build again?
So do you ever have things that are so stupid that you don't believe they really are real? There has to be some sinister plot or something, right? Yeah. Well, the people pouring into our country is one. Who would allow prisoners and people from mental institutions, terrorists, to just pour into our country? You would say that's so stupid it would never happen, but they let it happen. The EV, and I must say, there's nothing more important than what I just said. Millions of people are coming in, and they're world-class criminals. The jails are being emptied out, the mental institutions. There's nothing that's a bigger thing than that. But the EV is another one. At a smaller level, because there's nothing that's so country-threatening as what they're doing to our country with all these criminals coming in. But at a smaller level, the EV is the same thing. I say, who would be so stupid to force people to buy cars that they don't want, that don't go far, that cost too much, and that are all going to be made in China? United Auto Workers is going to be that guy, is that man that made this deal with the United States to allow this to even be talked about, is a criminal. He's going to destroy the United Auto Workers and all auto workers, whether they're United Auto Workers or whether they're auto workers. You're not going to have any cars made in this country, because with the EV mandate, they have all the materials. They have all the everything that's necessary for the batteries, everything else. We don't. They do. What we have is a thing called gasoline. We have more gasoline. We have more oil and gas than any other country. We have more under our beautiful land, and we don't use it. We're getting it now from Venezuela. Can you believe it? Mm. It's, these things are not even possible to believe. Venezuela, by the way, is their crime is down 67% because all of their gangs have been moved from Venezuela to the United States of America. The gangs, their prisons are being emptied out. And this is not only Venezuela. All over the world, prisons are being emptied out and they're being deposited into the United States. And also, mental institutions are being emptied out. And some of the most insane people in the world are being dropped into the United States of America. This country has never been in a position like that. Getting back to the electric car, they don't go far, they cost too much, and everybody should be able to buy one if they want one. But you have to get, if you want a regular, nice, beautiful, where you put gasoline in the tank and you can drive for hours and hours and hours, and do what you want, which a lot of people want. You know, 5% of the people have electric, five. And that's about what want it. It's probably, you know, that's about probably 5%. What want it.
Yeah.
You can't build the chargers. Do you know that to build the chargers necessary to do the electric cars would cost more money than the United States has? The United States would go bankrupt. It would cost $5 trillion to build the chargers. You know, they talk about we're going to build chargers. And we don't have the electric capacity.
We don't.
And by the way, the electric capacity is made through petroleum products, okay?
Yeah.
The whole thing is so crazy. So they're trying to force people. And now what they're doing is spending massive subsidies so that people buy these cars. The United States is spending trillions of dollars so they buy these cars. And you know, in the end result, the difference is minimal. Actually, some people say there is no difference. If you have the hybrids and the regular, you know, the regular beautiful cars that you hop into and you turn them on and you can drive forever, the difference environmentally is very little. In fact, you could say that I've heard people say it's not even decipherable, the difference.
Yeah.
We're destroying our country for reasons that don't even exist. And the electric car will never work. It's never going to be. It's going to be fine. And you know, I believe in everybody should. Everybody that wants an electric car should have one. But most people don't want it, and they won't because they have problems with them. They don't go far, and they don't work in cold. You know, when I won the Iowa primary, it was 40 degrees below zero. You never saw so many electric cars on the road that were abandoned.
Yeah.
I mean, it was because they don't work in cold weather.
They
do
not.
This is just another one of the little minor problems.
Well, they're the big topics.
So we're going to end the EV mandate on day one.
Good.
We're going to bring jobs to Michigan like nobody's ever seen. We're going to bring the auto industry back to Michigan like I was starting to do. You didn't have all these plants being built in Mexico during my administration because I told them, you're not going to sell cars into the United States if you build these plants.
Right.
It's incredible what they're doing. And they're destroying our country in so many different ways. But when you mentioned auto manufacturing, you're not going to have any auto jobs in this country. They're all going to be made in China and other countries.
Yeah. There are the big topics. The open border, the economy, including EVs and manufacturing jobs in Midwestern states like Michigan, Wisconsin, where you'll be tomorrow as well, Pennsylvania. So I greatly appreciate you taking the time. I know that you're busy, but these are the big topics. Green Bay tomorrow, Michigan as well. Thank you for being here today, Mr. President.
Well, thank you. And just to not end on such, because it's such like a depressing call, everything we talk about now is depressing. We're going to turn it around. We're going to get it done. We're going to be a big car manufacturing country again. And we're going to just turn it around and we're going to deport these criminals that are coming into our countries at levels that nobody's ever seen before. We're going to make America great again, in other words.
President Donald Trump, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Greatly appreciate it. There you have it. 45th President of the United States. Long conversation covering the border, EVs, the economy, things that impact voters, things that impact people like you and me, and the mandates. He talks about us being in debt, which he's right about, by the way. And we're giving away all of this money to pick up EVs and so forth. Doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? No, it really doesn't, because if people don't want them, Why would I subsidize my neighbor's car? And the big takeaway today of all of this is the crime associated with the illegals coming in. That's why he's coming into Michigan, the brutal death of Ruby Garcia, following the brutal death of Lake and Riley in Georgia. These are stories. These are terrible, horrible stories that move the electorate. That move the electorate. By the way, you can catch this entire interview again at stevegruber.com. Check the podcast. It's there. You can go back and listen to it, share it with your friends, evaluate what was said here today. And then, of course, tomorrow he'll be in town. I'll be over in West Michigan as well to cover his appearance here in my home state. All right. I'll take a break and be back with some final thoughts here on the Steve Gruber Show.